When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Don't sweat the technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
75 on Twitch. J-Bone did get that Velvet Taco Chimichurri Steak Bowl. Really good.
There you go. Your advice hit.
I'm an influencer. Brian, have you had the... We talked about Velvet Taco yesterday.
We did, probably.
A conversation you missed.
Well, we talked a little bit about a pre-show as well, so I caught part of it. Body catch, obviously, the part on the show.
I forgot that. This has not really resonated with me.
It didn't really stick
in
your
mind. Have you had Velvet Taco?
No. That was actually part of what we talked about, so it definitely didn't stick in your brain.
I've been thinking about it.
No, but I've never been there.
That last bite.
Have you had TGI Fridays?
I don't think we actually brought that back up on the show, but it is indeed closed. I was wrong.
They, you can buy the TGI Friday potato skins at your local grocery.
Oh, really?
They're frozen, right?
Yeah.
Those still exist, huh?
They do. I don't know how, but they do.
Well, I know the Luby's product still existed in freezers long past
what
everything.
What product?
What would you get at Luby's?
It was the fried... I didn't get it. I would just see
the
it.
Mashed
but,
potatoes?
No. It was the fried fish, the mac and cheese, and then I think that might have been it. There might have been more.
Fried fish?
Yeah. The HEBs near me have Luby's brand... their fried fish and their mac and cheese is in the frozen aisle.
Was it Wyatt? I think we talked about this on the show. I think
Did
Wyatt's
we?
Was the buffet back in the day.
Kind of like Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Was it Wyatt or Hyatt's?
I think it was...
There used to be one in Humble.
Yeah, I know exactly. I've been there a long time ago. There was one in Pasadena as well.
I always preferred that over Luby's.
So that was for you guys on the north side. And then down in and around the Galleria and downtown, it was Claiborne's.
Yeah, the Claiborne's was like the
and
fancy
Claiborne's
one.
Burned down.
They didn't rebuild it?
No, I don't believe they did.
I think I went there once with my mother.
I don't think I ever went to a Claiborne's. I did go to a Hyatt or Wyatt or whatever it was. There was one in Pasadena as well.
Give me the old chicken fried steak. Put the mashed potatoes on the chicken fried
Claiborne's
steak.
Claiborne's was really, really good.
That was the jam back like in, you know, middle school days too. You get like the little lunch plate with the, you know, fake chicken fried steak and you put the processed mashed potatoes on them with the gravy. Sometimes you made a sandwich with the roll.
Especially when it wasn't like today's modern NBA, our players and coaches were staples at Claiborne's after practice days at
really?
The Summit.
That place
they
is good.
Loved it.
409 Josh, Port Arthur still has Luby's. I think there's one up in Kingwood, too. That's
there
open,
is.
Right?
There, yeah, it's kind of like what happened. Well, of course, it's like it's what happened because it's the same parent company. But like with Fuddruckers, like the ones that are owned individually can stay open as long as kind of like block. There's that one Blockbuster left in Oregon. They could stay open as long as they want to stay open, but there's no more support from corporate.
There's a Casso Ole like that.
Did the one on Wah close, that Luby's?
I don't know. There was one over here on like Post Oak and San Felipe. That one long closed down. But yeah, there's one in Kingwood still alive.
There's Wyatt's.
It was Wyatt's?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to love Wyatt's, man. I would go there a lot. Space City Kev here. I use jabroni as a term of endearment, Branham. You call yourself jabroni constantly. Yeah, but it's different whenever somebody else calls me that. Texter says, I'll take... before we do that. Hey, look. We have a caller on the line, 713-780-3776. His name is Wyatt and wants to talk about Wyatt's. We'll get to him in just a second. Yeah, but the chicken fried steak was always the way to go. All right, let's go out to Wyatt. Wyatt, you're in the hive to talk about Wyatt's?
Yeah, I'll talk about Wyatt's. I went to the one in Humble, went to the one downtown. They had one over at Gulfgate Mall. Yeah, we went. I went there for years.
What'd you get? What was your go-to?
The go-to was the fish.
The fish. All right. Appreciate the call, Robert.
I've always heard I think it was Brian's point, but I think that the fish was popular. But I also heard the meatloaf, the meatloaf, the mac and cheese, and the mashed potatoes were always very popular at Luby's.
That's literally, I would always get like the Luann. I think it was called the Luann platter. I would get the fried fish, the mac and cheese. That was like my go-to. Yeah,
I would get the little chopped steak with the cheese on top and the onions. Scallions.
Yeah,
that was my go-to. Which I mean, I still crush that.
Chopped steak's different than the Salisbury steak.
Yes. Yeah, Salisbury steak's more like a hamburger
gravy
patty.
On it.
Gravy, yeah.
Humble with an H, LOL. Did he say humble?
I didn't catch it.
I didn't either. What store has Luby's fried fish?
H-E-B.
H-E-B does?
I got three Luby's that are still open, and I guess the one on Wah didn't make it.
Yeah, the one in Kingwood, right off of 59 before North Park, still open.
Did the Bats drive? Did the Bats come back from on Wah?
Was
it the flood or the freeze?
Along Allen, Allen Parkway?
There used to be the Wall Bats, and it was either the freeze or the flood that got them. I think it might have been the flood, because it came up, and they were asleep, and they got drowned, I think. I'm pretty sure it was the flood.
Really?
I think it was the hurricane that got
them. Yeah, because that's a tourist attraction. Locals and people from out of town.
I don't know if they've come back or not.
Have you guys ever watched the Bats under the bridges in Austin?
No.
That is a lot of fun. They'll take you out on a boat on the lake. I can't remember what the name of the lake is, but if you're there at the right time, you see all the bats fly out for the night to go look for bugs.
Lake Austin?
It might be. I don't remember. There's got to be more than one lake in Austin, right? Anyway, but yeah, you could take boats out there to watch the bats fly out to go hunt for their dinner. It's pretty interesting.
I'll tell you something. My neighbors, when we lived in Midtown, got bats in their attic. That is as nasty as you want to get, because first of all, they come in like flocks of hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's
and
thousands.
The
under
attic
that bridge,
smelled like there were about three dead bodies up there when they had to. When they found out they had them, ugh.
Boy. Happened to a mutual acquaintance of ours.
Oh, yeah?
The bats are still in Houston, says a texter. I'm about to go back to the Wall Bats. That was pretty cool. Town Lake, later renamed Lady Bird Lake in Austin for the Bats, Brian. Lady Bird Lake, Lake Austin, Lake Travis in Austin, says a texter.
Yeah, our intern Ryan said Lake Travis, too, so we've got some conflicting reports here.
A texture, my mom worked at Wyatt's in Port Arthur in the 70s. I hope she got you free food. And then another texture, liver and onions. They used to have that.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
My grandpa.
I'm not old enough.
I hated it as it was. Why would I go somewhere and buy that? No.
My grandpa loves liver and onions.
I think you have to be a certain age to like liver and onions.
I can't. I've never been able to do it.
No way. Me either.
Claiborne's cafeteria has been rebuilt and reopened, says the texture.
Oh, good.
San Antonio has bats. I think every place has bats.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of places have bats, right? Like, it's kind of a problem. I guess not a problem unless they're rabid.
So ABC 13 did a story that in January that said bats survived 2025 winter storm under Wah Bridge and are still there.
Yeah. They got by the flood. They took them a while to repopulate. I didn't know if they have repopulated back to the way where, like, you know, there's tons of them, or if it's still kind of down. Branham, don't hate on the fried fish. I'm down with the fried fish whenever you go there and get it. But whenever you're getting it out of the frozen section grocery store, I'm good.
That doesn't sound appetizing at
all. I've
never
tried it. I love the fried fish.
But your kids eat fish sticks, don't they?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, my girls love the fish sticks.
I rather have the frozen section fried fish than tuna, though.
Here we go.
I'll say that.
I would agree.
Shame on anyone saying Lake Travis for the bats. That's North Austin. The bats are downtown. Shame on all of you. I have bat houses on the trees around my house. That's kind of cool. Sounds like something I would do. I tricked my brother into trying liver and onions at Luby's, and he threw up. That's nice. Way to go. Lady Bird Lake near downtown where the bats are. Oh, yeah, that's right. They used to, like, there's a bunch of kayakers in Lady Bird Lake. A lot of people like to run by that. It's in Austin. Downtown Austin.
Oh, downtown Austin.
There are commercial boats, which is what I was on, when they take you out. But lots of people go out in their kayaks or canoes or whatever to watch it as well.
Mm-hmm. Tyler and Conroe, I don't think anyone really likes liver and onions. They just like telling people they like liver and onions. I don't know. Like,
I think once you're...
It's not really a flex.
Old enough to qualify for AARP, then you like it, and you like it unironically.
See, I think they like it. No, I think
agree with that. My grandma,
I think they liked it before they were on AARP, though. It's definitely an age thing, but it's not like I turned 55 and now I like it. They liked it growing up. It's just for that generation.
They would eat, that makes sense. Pickled herring and stuff like that, too, which is just nasty.
That's a New Year's Eve thing, especially
in the Midwest, people would eat that of a certain age all year round, and that's just nasty.
Is that just bird?
No, herring's a fish.
Herring's a fish.
Oh, that's right. The little fish. My bad.
Herring. Blue heron.
Yeah, H-E-R-O-N is a bird.
I was thinking bird
herring
for some reason.
Herring is a fish.
Okay,
herring,
I know what you're talking about then. Ugh. Pickled herring. This looks awful.
It's in... That's like sardines. Nope.
I mean, it's not much different than tuna.
But tuna is like it's almost like getting just the chicken breast instead of the whole chicken.
Have you ever tried cooking chicken breast like that's like kind of marinated in pickle juice for a while?
In pickle juice?
Yeah. What, like brine in pickle juice?
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty good. It's juicy. Chick-fil-A does that. Chick-fil-A brines their chicken in pickle juice.
Huh.
Yeah.
Was it? Is it steak that people say you're supposed to use like Coke? A can of Coca-Cola?
I mean, you can, yeah.
You're supposed to make it like super like
you can marinate that in Coke.
Tender?
Usually like a skirt steak or something that needs to be tenderized. Yeah. You wouldn't do that like on a ribeye.
No.
Wednesday nights was liver and onions night back in Canada, and we feed it to the cat when mom wasn't looking. A blue heron is the ribeye of the sky. Hey, I like liver and onions, and I'm 21, 22 on Friday.
Really?
Happy birthday, Friday.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
At least it'll be enough for you, because I don't think a lot of people feel that way.
Tuna steaks are amazing. Yeah, tuna steaks are amazing, but canned tuna is not.
The tuna you get in the can is not a tuna steak. It's ground up, and it's...
Comparing tuna
steaks... It's like
steaks,
the hot dog of fish.
Comparing tuna steaks tuna to canned tuna would be like comparing a ribeye to, like, Vienna sausage.
Yes, yes.
But that's why, like, regular tuna in the can is like ground beef... And then
it's lesser than ground beef.
No, it's way lesser.
But if you get albacore tuna, now that's like
if you get a tuna steak, that's great. I'll grill it up, whatever. I'll eat it, but out of the can, no way.
Albuquerque
tuna. I wouldn't recommend
albacore. Albacore tuna is pretty good stuff.
So do you eat regular on the regular tuna out of a can?
I don't know about on the regular, but I'll eat albacore tuna. Every couple weeks.
I bought a bag of salmon like 3 months ago.
What, frozen?
No. Like they do the salmon stuff just like they do tuna. Like they'll put it in a can or they'll put it like in one of those bags, the chicken of the sea. And I was like, I'm going to try this again. And I have not been able to build up the courage to try it. It is still in my pantry. 3 months old. Yeah.
Well, if it's canned, it's probably fine still.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine you're going to build up the courage to eat it. So.
I don't think I'm going to. If it's taking me
just
this
donate
long.
It.
Yeah, I'll donate to you.
No, to like a food bank or something.
Yeah, I might do that. All right, Debo or Dig, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You guys are making me really, really hungry right now. Our bad. Growing up, we were expected to eat what was cooked or don't eat. My dad loved liver and onions. Mom cooked it once a week, so one night a week I went to bed hungry.
I'd be right there with you.
Fried Spam and ramen noodles with an egg. That sounds kind of good, actually. You do this. I haven't had Spam in forever.
I haven't either, my best friend is Hawaiian, and he and his brother, they love them some Spam.
That's big in Hawaii.
It is.
It's big in Hawaii.
Yep.
They do that little like the big sushi kind of. It looks like fried Spam on a bed of white rice.
Yeah, I was just going to say Spam and rice.
It looks like a piece of nigiri, but it's Spam.
Like when the commercial always says there's a million ways you could cook it or whatever they said, but believe me, in Hawaii, there is a million ways that they prepare Spam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay. Ocho, did you see Varian Hurts, Jalen's brother, is the new head football coach at Westfield? I don't think he's the head football coach. I think he's the OC quarterbacks coach, Ocho. Fact check me on that, though, but I did see that. All right. Debo or Diggs? You can only have one. You can only have one. And D'Amico Ryans, by the way, yesterday, he was asked about Debo being available. Mm-hmm. Always interested in good players, and he's a good player. Okay.
There you go.
They've talked about how much they like Diggs and his time here as well. So would you rather have, assuming the cost is relatively the same, and I saw that John Lynch said today that they're going to do right by Debo, and they've allowed him to like seek a trade. So Debo, Diggs, money roughly the same. Which of the two would you rather have?
I'm going Debo. I'm going Debo because of the fact that depending on what else they do to get a third receiver, because Tank's not probably not going to be there, but you, and I'm hoping that they draft one. But I think that Debo gives you the versatility if you really do have now an offensive coordinator that would love to, you know, utilize every tool in the toolbox. If you get a guy that can run, that can give you some variety in the way that you kind of do things in motion, is strong, is physical, can give you a lot of different options in the pass game, as opposed to a guy coming off an injury. And yeah, I've seen the videos on Twitter of him doing his, you know, his rehab and getting his knee right. But because it looked to me like the numbers would be very similar in terms of what they might be seeking, I would take Debo.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of this. I'd rather go Stephon Diggs. And yes, Diggs is coming off of the major surgery, but I like ACLs are kind of fluky to me. Like it's not a sign of like a bad body, that injury prone guy. Now at 32 years old, it's kind of like, you know, how much athleticism is he still going to have? But Diggs has been pretty much an Iron Man for most of his career. Whereas Debo Samuel, it seems like that dude is banged up all the time. Like, and I pull up the numbers in the games played, that doesn't really back that up. Like, he played 15 games last year, played 15 games 2 years ago, but it seems like he's always just being, like, has nagging injuries. Questionable, but plays and all of that. I'd rather have Diggs over Debo, even though Debo's a couple of years younger.
I think it's more so to the effect of when he gets annoyed or things like that, that he does things that make you think that he's not playing a lot as much as he should. But I also think it's a product of the circumstances of that he's gotten to be. He was their tailback for a part of the season, and then he's playing wide receiver, and then he's moving around. And you know, I know that the Packers had guys in the past where they'd take a wide receiver and use them in multiple running back formations, and then suddenly the receiver wants to bulk up, but now he's not as good a receiver because he's trying to be a better running back. Debo's kind of caught in that too because he was playing both positions. But I would be interested to see if Debo went back to just being a wide receiver with some plays in there for him to be used in the run game. Like, I think that he would be durable. I think that he would love playing for D'Amico and a team that has a chance to win. I think he'd be a good fit here.
I think that people overrate, like, how much of a running back he was. And I know he lined up there and had some carries there from time to time. The most carries he's had in a year was 59, and that was in 2021. Since then, he had 42 carries 3 years ago. He had 37 carries 2 years ago. He had 42 carries last year. Like, that's not that significant.
It's like 2 carries a game.
It's a little more.
It's less than three. Yeah, less than three.
Yeah, like you're giving guys like 2 carries on jet sweeps, you know? Like, I think that he has been primarily a wide receiver these last couple of years, especially with the addition of McCaffrey. Like, they weren't asking Debo to run the ball much 2 years ago when they had Christian McCaffrey. He's versatile, yeah, I get that, but like, he's always been a receiver to me that's capable of getting a few carries. But outside of that 1 year in 2021, he hasn't really been a running back.
Yeah, no, I just think that just looking at him, he's always been a physical type player.
Yeah, he's kind of built like a fire
but
trunk,
I think that he almost got even stronger after the 1 year. Maybe it was after the year where he did get 59 carries. But I just think that if he could he slim down a little bit? I don't want to say slim down, but he could take away some of the bulk. But I believe that if you put him at the number two receiver, and I think he could really have a really, really strong year in this system with a guy like Nico on the other side.
I think what you hit on there, Joel, is part of the problem and why I would go Diggs. Like, he, even though he's not carrying the ball as an actual running back as much as some people think, he still runs the ball like a running back even when he's a wide receiver. Like, he doesn't duck out of bounds.
Right.
He doesn't slide down. Like,
he seeks contact a lot.
Right. Right. He seeks out contact. He tries to run through people. So, I mean, he just turned 29 last month. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, he's getting towards washed, but he's a little bit older than the average 29-year-old wide receiver, I would say, because of his style of play. Like, we haven't seen him have a great wide receiver year since 2021. That was the year he had 1,400 yards, the only year in his career he was over 1,000. So, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards Debo as getting closer to Wash than Diggs is. And I think as purely a receiver, Diggs is more talented. So I would go with Diggs.
I would push back on the like off the field stuff. Like I've never heard character stuff with Debo, like being a problem, anything like that.
There's been some disagreements, I think, with Shanahan and style. Like he, like when he was going after that 1,400 yard year as a receiver, he was pushing back.
Wasn't that more about contract though, and him trying to get paid?
Well, it was. He was pushing back on how much he was being used as a running back, and I think it was in part because he wanted to get paid like a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that was more contract.
Yeah, it definitely was. But there's been a little bit of that. But other than that, yeah, you haven't heard him getting arrested or anything.
Because
like
what
that.
Was the? He was on. Oh, he was on the wide receiver documentary. Him and
yes.
Kittle were.
Yes.
And, like, behind the scenes, they loved the guy. Like, everybody was talking about, like, his leadership and, like, how much of a, like, a good role model he is. And he was a captain last year, too. Like, and that doesn't always tell the whole story. Like, Steven Nelson was a captain 2 years ago. Like, and then he was calling his head coach a candy later in the offseason. So, like, it doesn't always tell the story. But I've heard that Debo is, like, a good locker room guy. And then watching that wide receiver show, it seems like they really like him. Texter, I'll take option C, neither. Well, it's against the rules. But I actually think I agree.
Yeah.
I really don't want to spend $20-25 million dollars in wide receiver.
Although the money spent for Diggs isn't quite the same because of the cap savings it implies that comes with it. So, but overall, I agree with the sentiment. I'm not rushing out to spend $20 million on an older wide receiver.
I think you can get a veteran wide receiver on the market that can probably do exactly as a number two what either one of those guys is going to do next year, and you draft a kid in the draft at wide receiver, and your wide receivers are set.
Although, I mean, I know you guys have heard Lance say the same thing, and it's not just him saying it. This is a pretty weak wide receiver draft, so I think we have to factor in as part of our strategy the idea of, well, we're definitely going to be able to get a playable wide receiver in the 20s, although likely – It's less likely than most years, I would say.
See, I think that sentiment is more about the top of the wide receiver draft class. Like, there's not Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. To me, it's
Marvin
more
Harrison.
About the top. Yeah, Marvin Harrison. I knew there was another name I was forgetting. Yep. Even Ladd McConkey, like, had an unbelievable rookie year. I think it's more about the top of the draft. I think it's very, like, middle-heavy. You know, it's kind of built
like
me. Yeah,
because overall,
middle-heavy.
Those guys would be less likely to produce right away is all I'm
saying.
I don't think so.
I think you find wide receiver twos and threes. I don't think that there's an elite wide receiver. Like the best receiver in this draft class, and more people are starting to get a little bit, having a conversation about it, is the McMillan from Arizona. Like, he's wide receiver one, but a lot of people don't think he's a – you know, anywhere near a Nabers, Marvin Harrison, Brian Thomas Jr., they think he's more of like a T. Higgins type.
I think there's depth at wide receiver. There's just not that top of the line wide receivers that we saw a year ago. But I think that overall, like this draft in a lot of ways, especially like because everybody's going to judge it from quarterbacks first. But, you know, Schefter, I think, said today that a lot of guys that are going to go top 10, top 15 this year would probably go in the 30s last year or when there's a stronger draft.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean... agree with it mostly. Where was Brian Thomas was picked, what, 22 last year? 22?
Right in around where the Texans were supposed to pick.
I think it was the pick.
Yeah.
Which I think was 23. Yeah, 23. How did that guy slide to 23?
Because they were questioning his love of the game.
That guy's so
they were like,
good.
Oh, you know, he does he have the desire? Does he really want to be a football player, or is he just enamored with the fact that he's in a great position? Well, he showed he wants to be a football player. He wants the football, and when he gets it, he's damn good.
Maybe he's Anthony Rendon, though, where he does enough to get paid and then disappears.
Or Kelvin Cato.
Goes away. Yeah, maybe he's Kelvin Cato of the gridiron. Now he's working with
I don't put Kelvin Cato on him.
Duval.
Did you see the general manager get introduced yesterday?
Yeah, he looks like he's 12.
But was his – there? Somebody sent me a video of him. I'm pretty sure it was AI generated, though. I need to go back and watch that press conference.
Why do you think it was AI generated?
Because he was saying some stupid stuff.
Okay.
But it wasn't crazy. Like, it was not like – you know, you see some of these AI
I've
stuff.
I've seen some
like
of Jerry Jones.
And,
it's so obvious. Yeah.
Like, this one's kind of like, that might be real. Because he didn't say anything crazy. It was more like, to the people of Jacksonville. But the dude looks 15. He looks like he belongs in NSYNC, a boy band.
He really
well, the
does.
The guys in NSYNC are now in their 50s.
I know what I meant.
He almost looked like a ventriloquist's puppet.
Yeah, he looks like, I don't want to say he looks weird because that's kind of mean. I look
but
weird.
But he did. He looked like he just looks awkward.
He's very young. Very young. Someone says they'd rather have Debo. I don't want either one, says Ocho. but I'd pick Debo because he's a better blocker. Yeah, Debo is more physical.
Oh, for sure.
Debo's way more physical than Diggs. That's a fair point. Let's see. A few more on these from the text line. This texter says, Debo can't play a whole season. Says that he's injury prone, which is true, but like he plays in a bunch of games, which another texture is like he leaves a bunch of games early, which is true. Debo's twice the size as Diggs, so that's obvious, and I think he'll turn it up like how Saquon turned it up when he left the Giants. I don't think Debo's going to finish
top. I don't think Debo has how old is Debo? Left in the tank.
He'll be 29
he's
next
29
year?
Now.
Yeah, I don't
he's
think I don't now. See him turning it up that like a Saquon. He could possibly like get a fresh start and feel really good and have a good year. But
yeah, maybe a bit more like bounce back. Having a Saquon
come
type of year.
Player of the year nominee.
Because having a Saquon type of year is insane.
Yeah.
Debo is always hurt. Debo played 15 games. Didn't he leave early in a bunch of them? Brandon, this is like asking if I want a headache or a toothache. Man. My concern with Debo is he doesn't have true wide receiver talent, relies on athleticism. Watching a few games this year, he seems to have lost that. Even with Diggs having the opposite style of Debo, who was the one hurt last year, 15 games started for Debo. Fair point. Debo was available more than Diggs was last year, but it was probably the only year in the last 10 years where that would be the case. Texture, I think Mechie can break through next year, maybe not to the level of Nico, but I think you stick with him and Hutch. There were many times Mechie would be wide open, but CJ couldn't get enough time to see him since he was running for his life. He also had a bunch of drops. Never had time to go through his progressions. I don't want to go into next year with Mechie and Hutchinson as your number two and number three receivers. If they're your number four, five, number five, six, and they're your depth guys, okay, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Cheap salary, you want to spend resources elsewhere. I'm fine with those guys being the last two wide receivers on your 53-man roster. Those guys cannot be your number
two
and
your number
three.
That would be a massive failure if they went into the season with Mechie and Hutchinson as your two and three.
Yeah, like even if you go like veteran receiver that, maybe they think they can bring – like I've seen Darius Slayton thrown out. I don't think Darius Slayton's great. But like a receiver of that elk where you're not going to have to pay him a lot,
right.
It's a bounce-back candidate, and then you go draft one in the first two rounds, I could live with that.
I could live with that. Darius Slayton, I don't think Jacoby's a free agent, but like a Jacoby Myers type, a Darius, like one of those type of veteran free agents plus a rookie would be fine.
Yeah, veteran bounce back guy for relatively cheap.
Yep.
Top two round receiver. Pair that with Nico. Mechie and Hutchinson can be 4-5. Maybe you bring in another veteran receiver for a camp body. And you go to, I'm cool with that. Because now you're spending money on the interior offensive line, blah, 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 blah. That's why I'm kind of opposed to receiver $20, $25 million. Texter, I'll take the guy who is already familiar with Stroud in this offense. How much should we factor into that, into this conversation?
Is he, though?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, well, he's familiar with Stroud, but the offense, we don't know how
drastic we don't know about how the offense is going to change and what they're going to run, but I think that the familiarity with the quarterback, I think, is pretty important.
Touché.
It could be a tiebreaker, but I'm not factoring the offense itself because we don't know how different Nick Haley's going to call it compared to Slowick.
No, but everybody has a different throwing style and timing and everything like that. At least they've been there and done that before.
I would more factor in the kind of what you hinted at, the familiarity. Like he seems to be very tight with Mixon and with Stroud and a lot of the guys on the team. So I think there's less of a growing pain when he's already comfortable.
But he's tighter with Cardi B.
he is tighter with Cardi B.
Might be
I don't
a
blame him for that. By the way,
that's
a good decision by him.
Cardi B, member of the Killer Bees.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the family.
Bagwell,
the Hive,
Biggio, Berkman,
Beyonce,
Cardi B. Yeah.
Did we do the
Tim Burke?
Did we do our top Bs last summer?
I don't.
We started something. We were going to do a Hall of Fame. We were going to do the Bees Hall of Fame.
Oh, we did do a Bee Hall of Fame.
We did the Bees Hall of Fame.
We did a Bee Hall of Fame. I think I have it written down somewhere. We'll have to find that. I did a quick poll on this. 1,000. No, I'm just kidding. Stephon Diggs, 64%. Debo. I had a typo. I forgot the M in Samuel. So Debo Samuel, 36%. Of this vote. So I think that's probably hometown bias there a little bit, though, like knowing what you're getting with Diggs kind of versus the unknown of Debo Samuel.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little curious in the fact that younger and healthier from Debo.
The health is, I think, debatable. I mean, you'll scoreboard me who played more games last year and you'd be factually correct. I'll go 5 years and just like who pops up on the injury report more. I think I would probably win that side. But he is
as
younger.
As a fantasy player, I would agree with you because Debo was a constant headache.
But the younger thing, I can't argue. Like it's inarguable. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's make mock drafts great again. This time with the GOAT, the best that's ever done it, Mel Kiper. We'll tell you who we have to pick from when we come back. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Eric the Driver says being close with Bill Carty is not a good thing. Who's Bill Carty?
No idea. I know he met Cardi B.
Now maybe are we missing something because we're olds. We might be missing something because we're old. We might not be hip and like, you know. We might not be informed on what Bill Carty is. I don't know. I have no idea. No one is talking about him, but DeMarcus Robinson is cheap, and bringing in a rookie would be a good option. I've always kind of liked DeMarcus Robinson. Never has been he's never had massive numbers, but has always been solid. Like, he was solid this year when Cooper was out. Obviously, he's very familiar with the Rams system, which we think the Texans are getting some of the Rams system by hiring Nick Kaley. I think you could do worse than DeMarcus
Robinson.
That's a good call.
If Kaley knows what he's got, that's a big key that he could bring in some of the guys that he's crossed paths with.
Yeah, that one makes sense to me. I think that's a really good texter. Texter, I feel you guys, but it also doesn't matter what receivers we get if CJ doesn't have time to throw. You guys are spot on about not wanting to spend big money on a receiver. That's true. That's priority number one. Protecting CJ Stroud, giving him time to throw. 100%, you are completely accurate.
I mean, that's the biggest thing is the fact that we know CJ can work with just about anybody and make it work if he's got time. So, yeah, I don't think there's any denying the fact that we've said all offseason since they lost to the Chiefs that priority one is the interior offensive line.
Yeah, I don't think he was arguing with us.
No.
Texture, neither. What happened with Robert Woods? He's got a lot of work on special teams, Keith. He's a free agent. Yep. Yeah, and I think that ship has sailed.
I think so, too.
I saw Aaron Wilson making the claim, like, he's a Ram, he kind of knows that system, but he's old. Like, I don't want Robert Woods to be your number two, number three receiver. Like, sorry, I don't. He's a great blocker, maybe your number six receiver, but I don't want him to be one of your top three receivers. Eric the Driver, Eric Driver says she openly bragged about drugging men's drinks and robbing them once they passed out. Bad person. Okay, but why'd you call her Bill Carty?
Right. That was the bigger thing because that threw us completely off.
Yeah, I believe all that other stuff you said, but why did you call her Bill Carty? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, Mel Kiper. Let's make mock drafts great again. Mel Kiper's mock draft is who we're operating with today, and as you know, we always take where the Texans are picking and then the next three picks. That way we can decide. Scrolling through here, he has Abdul Carter going number one. So that'll be something to watch. Cam Ward goes number two. Travis Hunter, three. Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU, four. Mason Graham as high as five. Ashton Jeanty goes to the Raiders at six. Shedeur Sanders.
Six?
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Wow, that's high.
Pretty high. Shedeur Sanders goes to the Jets at seven. Warren, the first tight end of the board, at nine. See anything interesting? Omarion Anthony is going 12. So, you know, running back's going early here.
That's way early.
What else do we have? Loveland, the second tight end, goes to Denver at 20. Egbuka, number 21, to Pittsburgh, so we can't use him. McMillan from Arizona falls to 22. That's actually as low as I've seen him, but he's at 22, so you can't pick him. All right, he has the Texans at 25, selecting Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle from Bryan's favorite school.
Look at him putting horns up already.
Favorite school, Kelvin Banks. Josh Connerly Jr., this is going to be a tough one today. Josh Connerly Jr., offensive tackle to Oregon, goes 26, so he's an option here. I don't know how to say this dude's name. South Carolina safety, Nick Emanuori, I guess.
Emanuori?
I said it wrong.
I'm going to take a stab and say Emanuori.
There you go. It's spelled Emanuori.
Yeah.
Emanuori?
Emanuori's probably it. Yeah, you probably nailed it. You're a pro. He goes number 27 and then number 28. Thank you, Mel. He has outside linebacker UCLA.
Nope.
Uluwafemi Oladejo. I think it's pretty good.
I'm not good. Yeah.
Might not even
linebacker,
be close.
Oh, I'm not going to
try
it.
I think they even asked him.
Mel screwed
they
me.
They asked him the background and origin of his name at the combine yesterday.
Really?
Oluwafemi? Maybe?
Oladejo.
I don't know.
The Oladejo might be right. But that's more.
Yeah, I think you're right
Spanish
on the last thing.
Than,
oh, that's true.
Yeah. So those are the four guys we have today. Banks, Connerly, couple of tackles, safety, Emanuori, And then outside linebacker Oladejo from UCLA. So you get the pick, Blinkers. One of those four guys. Which of the four you taking?
Then my wish of getting a wide receiver there is out of the question.
Yeah, second round.
So I'm going to go with one of the two offensive linemen. And despite Brian, I think that I'm going to go.
You're going to make a pick out of spite for me?
The fact that
it's a spite pick.
The success of Oregon linemen drafted high has been pretty good. If you look at Penei Sewell, I'm going to go with the Oregon offensive lineman over the Texas offensive lineman there.
This is tough for me because I feel like you have to go offensive lineman here. I don't really want to draft a linebacker at 20.
No, there's no chance I'm taking a linebacker in the first.
I heard Lance on NFL Network. At this pick. I heard Lance on NFL Network. He was talking about dudes at the combine that are going to go nuts. And the guy you mentioned, one of the guys, was the safety from South Carolina. Says he runs like a 4.3. He's like a workout freak. He has good tape. 6'3", 225. They comp him to Kyle Hamilton. So, like, without I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and I'm usually not a need guy. Like, I'm a best player available guy. But I feel like you can't pass up on Kelvin Banks here. I'm going Kelvin Banks, but I'm really, really tempted for I'm going to worry.
Yeah, I heard Lance talking about him on their show as well, the safety from South Carolina. The way he described him was just like he's going to more than check all the boxes for traits and size and all that sort of thing. But apparently what he's hearing is he doesn't have the dog in him that Kyle Hamilton has. So that's kind of the question of, hey, can you get this guy in that passes all the, checks all the physical boxes and make him the type of player, or do you have to get the guy with the mindset and hope he's good enough? So, but either way, I'm not worried about it. I'm not drafting a safety. I'm not drafting a linebacker in the first round if I'm the Texans. I'm taking Kelvin Banks not only because, obviously I watched a ton of him. I know he's really good, but he also profiles as someone that could or might even be better suited to play guard at the NFL level because he's not super tall. So now you have some flexibility with what you're fixing, and I think that makes a lot of sense for the Texans.
So who'd you pick?
Kelvin Banks.
Banks. Homer.
Shocker.
Hey, you pick Kelvin Banks too.
He's got a t-shirt. He thinks he's a Longhorn fan.
Damn right.
Yeah. Banks, I think Banks is the better prospect between the two.
Yeah,
I don't
think
he's
actually kind of low for like earlier in the draft process. A lot of people had him, top half of the first. So this is a little bit low for him. So if he lasts all the way to 25-1, I'd be surprised. But I would definitely consider picking him here.
I think you're getting good value there. Getting good value there. So yeah, sign me up with Kelvin Banks.
I believe Matt Miller had Kelvin Banks as one of his 14 first round graded players.
That's right, he did.
When we did that exercise a few days ago or last week.
That would be interesting because now they have a surplus at tackle. Because you would have, Banks or any tackle you draft. I don't think you're getting rid of Laramie. You drafted Fisher in the second round last year. A lot of people think he should be your starting right tackle this year. And then Titus Howard, who you paid.
He could be playing four tackles
playing
at once.
Guard, right?
Probably, but you paid him top five right tackle money at the time.
Yeah.
Four tackles and a center. Yeah, Titus has played guard, obviously, and Kelvin Banks profiles as someone that can move inside. You might be in a situation where your best five offensive linemen includes playing five tackles.
What side of the line did he play at Texas?
Left tackle.
He played left tackle. So you'd have a bunch of left tackles on your team. You'd have four left tackles.
Well, I mean,
it's like having four left shoes.
Wasn't that the whole thing with the Jets and the Chiefs the last year? With all the problems that they had, was just playing your five best linemen regardless of position? I don't think you're drafting a guy and then hoping everybody fills into different positions. But, maybe he's the successor to Laramie?
Yeah, I don't think they want to get rid of Laramie, though. But maybe
I'm not saying
for
this season. But
yeah. Tweeter said Kelvin Banks isn't going that low. Well, take it up with Mel Kiper, man. It's not my mock draft.
I would agree that I don't think he does, but given this current situation that Mel Kiper gave us, I would go Kelvin Banks.
And Mel hasn't been fantastic at this sort of thing over the years. Jimmy Clausen. Will Levis. What idiots thought Will Levis
shouldn't be working anymore
good.
Because of Jimmy Clausen.
That's right. He said he was going to retire,
right? Yeah. Quit.
Who was the guy for the Colts way back in the day that he stood on the table for?
No, we were talking about Jimmy Clausen, I think, is the guy
this
is going like way back, like 90s.
He called him an idiot, I think.
Oh, that's what it was. He didn't stand on the table for him. Like he just pounded his fist that he was never going to work. And he was actually right about
that.
I
think that's one where he was right.
Yeah, I think it was one where he was right. It was
Trudeau?
A quarterback. No, it was a quarterback or an offense. Maybe it was an offensive lineman. I'm forgetting now. But it was someone that had like a dad that played in the league, and Mel was convinced he wasn't going to work. And
'94. Mel Kiper argued that the Colts should draft a new quarterback, but the Colts chose to stick with Harbaugh. led to a famous exchange between Kuiper and Bill Tobin. Is that the GM name?
Yep.
94, the Colts had the second and fifth picks in the draft, but they passed on quarterback prospects Heath Schuler and Trent Dilfer. I think.
Does it say good who on they them, picked instead?
Right?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. I mean, Harbaugh was probably better from that point going forward.
Harbaugh's in their ring of honor, and he played 3 years there.
Heath Schuler was a terrible bust.
Yes, and right? I mean, Dilfer was okay. He won a Super Bowl, but everybody just said he was a game manager.
He was so bad, the Ravens immediately got rid of him
after
they won the Super Bowl. The Colts took Marshall Faulk.
Good pick. Really good pick.
Oh, but it was the one at five that was the one that was like the big deal. It was Trev Alberts.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But those quarterbacks didn't hit, though.
Trev Alberts was a bust, right?
Yeah, yeah. Trev Alberts didn't work out. That was the one. That was the point of contention. It wasn't Faulk. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a great college player.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, but they didn't really, like, you missed out on Trent Dilfer? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, no, in hindsight, it didn't matter.
And Schuler went three. So, like, Schuler, you didn't pick Trev Alberts over Schuler, who was a bust. You picked Marshall Faulk over Schuler, which was a huge, huge win. But to me, if I remember correctly, the point of contention was pick five. He said that they should draft Dilfer, and they went with Alberts. And both of them were no good.
Yeah, both of them were great.
So, yeah, I think they did the right thing there, Colts. He's been bad since 94, Mel Kiper. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Could Gronk be coming out of retirement? Where's Rodgers going to land? Where's Stafford going to land? And which quarterback in the NFL is catching strays? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Indianapolis has selected Trev Alberts, linebacker from Nebraska.
You got a problem with this move?
I think it's a typical Colt move. I mean, here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback. There were two out there. They have a chance at two. They don't take them. They take an outside linebacker. To pass up a Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh, give me a break. That's why the Colts are picking second every year in the draft, not battling for the Super Bowl like other clubs in the National Football League.
Was that scripted? Did you have an idea? Or you thought they were going to take Dilfer?
Everything is totally unscripted. You're off the cuff.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. He's never, ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a player. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take.
Pretty good work there by Mel Kiper. Getting that kind of reaction. Mel Kiper was farming engagement in 1994 before we knew what engagement farming was.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
That's my kind of guy. What was it called again?
Yeah, it was producer. What was the second word? What was the first word of the title?
Audience producer.
Audience producer.
He
was an audience producer and didn't even know.
Yeah, that was good work there by Mel. I mean, he was wrong. I don't know if he was wrong. Trent Dilfer had a better career than
Mark
Alberts.
He was right and wrong.
Yeah, like Trent, I mean, I wouldn't like he wasn't as good as
Harbaugh. He wasn't a franchise quarterback.
He wasn't a franchise quarterback. Was he better than Trev Alberts? Yeah, he had a better career than Trev Alberts.
Is Trev Alberts on ESPN now?
Yeah.
He was on their call. Well, I don't know if he's
kind of a big dude, right?
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corn-fed from Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer not doing so well at UAB. Kept that job, though.
Oh, that's right. He went from coaching high school to coaching at UAB. Yep.
Yeah, he did. If McMillan slides that far, could they trade up and take him or even Luther Burden? I mean, Nick Cassera is a Will and Dylan son of a gun. I don't know if this is the year they trade.
Have we heard, is it Burton, the wide receiver from Missouri?
Yeah.
Yes.
LB3.
Yeah, that heard that the attitude might be a problem.
Somebody had him in a mock draft today that I quote tweeted, and I said, are we good with Luther Burden to farm engagement?
Yeah.
And one of my followers was like, hellbent on no.
Lance went off on him, I think,
no.
last week.
Really?
Yeah, I think saying the fact that when you watch him on tape, he was constantly like, he was mad when he wasn't getting the ball, and all of his plays were basically just over the middle, and that he might be a problem.
So really? He's Cam Whitmore?
And maybe so.
I see what you did there. Yeah, so I guess if Lance has that take, and I love every single one of my followers, especially those that comment and create engagement. If he's that convinced, no Luther Burden, I think I'm out on Luther Burden. I'm an impressionable young man. If Lance says it, if one of my Twitter followers says it, I'm with you. I'm with you. You've talked
Mel?
Me into it. I'm out on. No, I don't trust anything okay. Mel says. Nothing Mel says.
Yeah, okay. I'm just checking if he was if he made the list.
Which list?
Guys you trust.
No, no, I don't trust Mel. I trust
You just made the list.
I trust Lance. He makes that list a lot.
Yeah.
Mel Kiper does. But the list of my trustworthy guys, his hair's fine.
Well, he's got a lot of
the
hair.
The dye job's a little much.
The old school dye job and slick back.
Somebody said Trev Alberts is the AD for Texas A&M, which, by the way, we're getting out of here early.
Yeah, I don't know if he is currently, but he was at one time.
Is that Trev Alberts?
Yes, 100%. I remember hearing that news like a couple years ago. I don't know if he is currently, but he was at one time.
Is it the same Trev Alberts?
Yes.
It's the same Trev Alberts?
It's 100%, yeah.
No, it's the same one that's on ESPN, too.
Or that was on ESPN, yes.
So Trev Alberts, that's the AD at Texas A&M, is the same Trev Alberts that goes on television on ESPN?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's on ESPN as much as he used to be.
I always thought they were different people.
I don't think there's two Trev Alberts.
Like, I've seen Trev Alberts' name bounce around, like, the administration cycle. But I always thought that Trev Alberts was like an administrator, never played football type of deal.
Well,
I didn't realize that was the same Trev Alberts in my entire life.
No. I think we're missing it. I think he used to be on ESPN, but...
Yeah.
I saw him on there like last year.
No, there's, I don't think so. It's a different name. The big guy is a different name.
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah. Trev Alberts was a linebacker, not a lineman.
Yeah, but I think linebackers balloon whenever they stop playing football.
I don't think this Trev Alberts.
I think it is a
though.
Different Trev Alberts.
I don't think it is.
No. I'm saying it's a different guy.
Maybe
I'm confusing the name, but this isn't the Trev Alberts. Or this isn't the guy that I'm thinking Trev Alberts is.
Is it Trevor Maddich?
I didn't think his name was Trevor Maddich.
Well, that's close enough for you to confuse, though.
Trevor Maddich is the big guy.
Oh, it's definitely Trevor Maddich.
Trevor Maddich.
Okay. Yep. There we go.
Every single time I've seen Trevor Maddich on TV, I was convinced that was Trev Alberts.
I was, too. He's not wrong.
Convinced.
Exact same thing with me. I was thinking the exact same thing because...
What, they all look alike?
No, because of the fact that Trev Alberts used to be on ESPN.
Middle-aged.
Yes, Trev Alberts was on ESPN. He was on the college football coverage.
And they were both linebackers, and they both had the kind of brownish, light brown hair.
I'm an idiot. Yeah, I thought Trevor Maddich was Trev Alberts.
I agree.
You learned something new today. The Trevor Maddich and Trev Alberts are not the same
person. I think I've told people that, too. But, yeah, I saw Trev Alberts talking college football today on ESPN. I was convinced. I think I proved that over the last 10 minutes. You could not have told me that guy's name was Trev Maddich. I'd be like, no, it's not. That's Trev Alberts. That's the guy you see talking college football right now on television is Trev Alberts.
Yep. I made the exact same mistake.
Oh, man, what a gaffe. We made the list. Previously the AD at Nebraska. See, I knew that. I knew that Trev Alberts, the AD at A&M, was previously Nebraska. But I thought that he did TV. I don't know why I thought that. Obviously, it's very, very dumb. Apparently, Eric the Driver's he said Bill Cardi because he's relating Cardi B to Bill Cosby.
That's a weak. That's weak. It's very weak.
I mean, if they're drugging people and committing crimes on said drugged person, there's some correlation there.
I don't like it. I think it's bad. I think he's got to do better.
Okay. I'm not going to
I thought Trevor Maddich was a linebacker, too. They said in the NFL he was a long snapper.
Was he?
Yeah, from Brigham Young.
He didn't play linebacker?
I guess not. I guess not in the NFL. I thought both of them were linebackers.
John Weeks better be careful.
I'm figuring out we have no idea who Trevor Maddich is.
I know his face.
Maddich evidently was a center at BYU.
And then a long snapper? Oh, those were back in the days where you double dipped. They weren't specialized yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There you go.
Did he snap for Steve Young?
I believe he did. I believe it's hard to see on that picture, but I believe that's Steve Young behind it.
It does look like Steve Young's profile. Okay. Trev Alberts was fired by ESPN in the early 2000s, so he did.
ESPN. I know both of them at one point worked for ESPN.
I didn't realize that.
I feel like you're not listening.
I'm blown away.
Yeah, because I think we've said multiple times that Trev Alberts did work at ESPN.
Yes, I said that.
Man. Okay. All right. That was a weird segment. When we come back, Gronk out of retirement, quarterback carousel in the NFL. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.